All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, speaking to you from New York City on this, the 12th of January, 2021. Not sure why I'm trying to hurry things along. January 12th, 2021. I'd like to remind you, I publish a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. You can subscribe to it by going to miningstocks.com. And Chen Lin is going to be with me in a little bit. I like to always plug Chen's letter. What is Chen buying? What is Chen selling? And that's also a place to go. ChenPicks.com is the place to go to subscribe for Chen's letter. We'll be hearing from him, as I said, in just a couple of minutes from now. I do want to thank all of you for listening to this show, making it one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel. Also, want to encourage you to send along whatever comments you have about this show. Send it to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. Questions, the number for taylor@gmail.com. We do want to thank our sponsors for making this show possible. Our sponsors for today's show, NV Gold, Cassier Gold Corp, El Oro Resources, Hannon Metals, Irving Resources, Novo Resources, Sitka Gold Corp, Lion One Metals, and SK Mining Corp. Today's show will be a little different than normal because it will be focused primarily on the market views of several Metals Investor Forum participants, namely Brent Cook, Chen Lin, Eric Coffin, Gwen Preston, and yours truly. I will be asking each of them for their market outlook for 2021 and their two top stock picks for this year as well. And as I mentioned, Chen will be joining me in just a minute to give us his views right after first commercial break. Peter Ball, the president of NV Gold, will join me to give us an update on the progress being made on that company's two Nevada projects. Then in the final segment, Brent Cook, Eric Coffin, Gwen Preston will join me. Now, last year, out of 8 Metals Investor Forum letter writers who gave us their stock picks, Brent's was on average up 60.04%, Eric's was up 59.56%, and Gwen's rose by 58.3%. Letter writers were asked to give me their best picks, but Gwen really snuck in a third. I wanted two from each person, but Gwen snuck in a third pick, and much to her detriment, I might add, because had she stuck with the first two names, GFG Resources and Pure Gold Mining, she would have blown away Eric and Brent. She would have gained 82% if she had just stuck to her first two, because Pure Gold Mining gained 218.52% last year. So anyway, in the second half of today's show, as I just said, Brent, Eric, and Gwen will join us to give us their thoughts about the markets as we start this new year, as well as their best two investment ideas, their best two stock picks. We'll see if we can hold Gwen to two this year for 2021. And in just a minute, we'll hear what Chen has to say about his views of the markets. But let me just put in my nickel's worth of my ideas anyway, my 2 cents worth, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I believe this is a year when investors and markets may start to realize that the Fed is losing control of the monetary system as interest rates begin to rise no matter how much money the Fed pumps into the system. As Alistair McLeod pointed out in this show, M1 grew at a rate of 14% in a 2-week period in December, which when annualized amounts to over 360%. The Fed, realizing that this is an alarming picture, has, I would use the word manipulated, M1 numbers by backdating M1 to include some of M2 data in order to smooth it out, in order to smooth out the growth trajectory of M1, so that you don't start to get an idea of some sort of out-of-control growth of the money system. For details on how, for if you really want to drill down on this on the numbers, to do so, you could go to Shadow Stats, which is John Williams' excellent newsletter. John really gets into the details on this sort of thing and has explained exactly how the Fed is sort of massaged the numbers in order to make them look, make M1 at least not look so like such a rapid hyperinflationary growth rate. But as Alistair has shown and has demonstrated, I think, very adequately in his essays, that despite a very weak economy, rates on the longer end of the yield curve have not only started to rise, but look poised for a new bull market. The 10-year Treasury, for example, is continuing to rise, and look at the and a look at the chart of the 10-year Treasury reveals that it is reveals a golden cross, suggesting a new bull market in rates. Well, that's hard to believe. I can last remember the 1980, the early 80s, when we had double-digit interest rates. It's very hard for most people to get their head around how we could ever see rising interest rates, no matter how much the Fed pumps into the system. But that certainly was what happened back in those days. I remember it very well when G. William Miller and then Chairman Burns pumped huge amounts of money into the system during the Nixon years, and the rates kept rising. So it's not as if that can't happen in an inflationary environment, and there's a lot of reasons to believe that inflation is on the rise too, no matter what kind of numbers come out of the government, reporting. But in any event, let me just say that I believe that we are likely to see a rising rates this year, inflation rising, very rapidly rising monetary numbers, monetary aggregates, I think, M1 and the others, because the Fed really has no choice but to print enormous amounts of money. The foreigners who we used to rely on in this country to live beyond our means are no longer putting money into this system. The net creditor nations, the nations that have exports, that have our net exporter nations, are taking their dollars that they earn from us and using them to build out infrastructure and do other things around the world. So we can't rely anymore. And who really wants to buy treasuries at 1% or 2%? Negative real rates, why? Why would you buy them other than for liquidity purposes? So I think the Fed is going to have to print enormous amounts of money, and I will be going into this more thoroughly in the Metals Investor Forum coming up this Thursday. And I will be, I guess I'm the first person up at about 9 o'clock Pacific time, 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock Pacific time, 9 o'clock New York time. And you need to sign up. I really hope that you'll sign up. Eric Coffin will be with me later in the show. He will be talking on Thursday, then Gwen Preston on Friday as well. So you should go to my website, J. Taylor Media. Just click on the Metals Investor Forum banner, and your name and email address will suffice to get you into the show to listen to what I have to say, but more importantly, what my the companies I'm inviting have to say, because I have some really exciting companies that I've invited along, as have Eric and Gwen and all the other participants at the Metals Investor Forum. So I just like to. Since I'm going to ask the other writers to talk about their picks, let me just name mine. I don't have time to really go into it, but they are both sponsors of this show. El Oro Resources at $1.90 Canadian today, and SK Mining Corp at $2.18 in Canadian money today. Those are my picks. Now, I want to turn to Chen Lin with just a few minutes left. Chen, just real quickly now, how are you seeing the markets as we go into 2021. Now, I don't expect that you're going to agree with me, but I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Oh, hi, Jay. Thank you. Nice to be here. Yeah, I'm looking more for the vaccine, you know, for the pandemic. I'm hoping the pandemic will be over. I look at the statistic from China in the second half of last year was extremely strong. So if you can contain the virus, we can see just, you know, even if the debt card bounce, it will have a very strong economy, the bouncing back, because people, you know, a lot of people can go back to work. So I see potentially, I think I can agree with you. I saw that the 10-year rate is going up. Inflation will come back. But, you know, Fed was saying they may, if you read the last conference call, their transcript, they're looking at maybe reducing their QE, the potential. Okay, so, but, you know, that will be the long-term rate will go higher. So I'm more, for in the precious metal, okay, I like platinum. I like silver the most. The platinum I discussed many times in my my newsletter. So basically, the story is that the platinum right now the cheapest precious metal. So there's a lot of jewelry demand. That's first thing. It's trading a little bit half over half of gold, and then second, people perception the platinum is more expensive. So actually, that's why it's cheap, and so people are buying. And then there's automobile demand. Platinum for the first year, this year, they start to replacing palladium. We're trading at twice as much in the gasoline car. Okay, and then for the renewable energy, platinum is very, very important for the hydrogen, for the hydrogen battery. So it's not for the small car, but for the truck. Eventually, if they want a zero-emission boat, those hydrogen actually is the platinum is a key component. So I like platinum. I like silver. Silver, obviously, solar panel. All these are phone, our gadgets, and all these use a lot of silver. So as the industrial demand of silver will pick up, and after so many years of underinvestment, so silver may have a spike. I hope that's my two of my theses.
Okay.
And for investment, I have put on two companies. I hope they will do well. One is the Sarah DePasco. I've been investing in that for a long time. They have this asset, historical tailing, from the Sarah DePasco mine. Okay, it used to be there only two projects. I mean, two miners listed on New York Stock Exchange, 30 years ago. That's Sarah DePasco, 50 years, in the 70s. Sarah DePasco and Freeport McMoRan. Freeport McMoRan, Philip Stout become Freeport McMoRan. So, and then Sarah DePasco was nationalized, and then we're talking about this historical tailing. Okay, used to be called Sarah DePasco Copper Mine, and they have copper gold deposit, and then later become copper, silver, zinc, and gold deposit. I know the historical tailing, they have a very big tailing, and they going to, for first time in the past decades, they start going to drill it and see what they going to have. So that's something going to be very exciting. They have been doing all these. They're trying to get a deal, working on many different things in the past few years, but this year going to be the drilling year. So I will see what's coming out of that. And the second also is an exploration company, highly speculative. It's Labrador Gold. It's right next to Newfound Gold. And if we recall, our good friend Quentin Hanning just joined them as technical advisor. The investor of Newfound Gold also just invests in Labrador. Okay, I talked to Quentin. They have a very bad drill result first, so the stock actually down. Those stocks actually are lower these days. So it's good for, if you have a long-term view, can pick it up and hopefully going much higher at the later part of the year. So so this first round drill results are very bad, but you cannot just find it, in the first try, right? So a lot of projects like that. And then Quentin believes strongly that what Newfound Gold extended to the Labrador ground. Okay, they're going to redesign a drilling program. I think they are applying permit right now, so they will drill it, and then we'll get the result in a few months. I suspect we could have something close, hopefully, close to Newfound Gold, and then the market cap is like a day and night, trading at 110. one-tenth, less than one-tenth of the new fund. So there's opportunity. So that's my two picks. And I think the gold price right now at 1800 is very high, okay, historically. So it's very good for exploration company, for small producers to generate return for shareholders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I should just mention Cerro de Pasco was selling earlier today at 36 cents, I believe, Canadian money. Chen, 266 million shares out is what I see. Labrador Gold at 39 cents a little earlier today, 110 million shares outstanding. Both of those companies are certainly of interest to me, and I do own Cerro de Pasco as well. Chen, I want to thank you very much for sharing your time with us and your thoughts. Very helpful. Thank you so much, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
All righty. Well, folks, we do have to go to break now, but Peter Ball of NV Gold will be with me right afterwards, so don't go away. And then, of course, after that, we'll be talking to the other Metals Investor Forum newsletter writers as well. So we'll be right back with Peter Ball now.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Cassiar Gold Corp. trades on the OTCQB under the symbol CGLCF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GLDC. Its flagship asset, the Cassiar Gold Project, is a large advanced stage road-accessible gold property with an NI 43-101 compliant resource estimate of 1 million ounces at 1.43 grams per ton gold at the Taurus near-surface bulk tonnage gold deposit and 15 kilometers of high-grade gold prospects. The property hosts several past producing high-grade gold mines and is in search for the next multi-million ounce gold camp in British Columbia.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have with me once again Peter Ball. He's the president of NV Gold. It's a company that has some very exciting, very promising projects, quite a few of them actually, but they're focused on a couple of them, a couple that they think could really turn out to be extraordinary in Nevada. So it's really good to have Peter with me today again to give us an update on what he's learning from his ongoing exploration work there. Thanks for joining me today, Peter.
Thanks, Jay. Always a pleasure. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing very well. Very well indeed. We're very pleased things are going well in this new year, and we shall see how things work out. I sure hope this pandemic gets behind us so we can travel a little bit more, but otherwise, thank God we're able to do stuff indoors, and I know even people that are exploring the ground. Of course, you have to have your people on the ground there as well, but talk to us a little bit about your two projects that you're really focused on. The Slumber Project, which I find really interesting because it seems to be a geological look-alike perhaps to the Sleeper Mine, which was a very prolific, very high-grade section. I remember it very well as a lender to that company when I was at Westpac Banking Corp. So that's really interesting. Slumber, you just finished your Phase 2 drilling project there. Talk to us about what you've learned so far with regard to the Slumber Project, which is located in northwestern Nevada, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Jay. We spoke a lot about Slumber in 2020 leading up to the drill program. We finally got in there, actually just after Christmas. I think we started on what we call Boxing Day up here in Canada, 26th, 27th. Mm-hmm. We got in about 9 holes, about 6,100 feet, and as you said, it's up northwestern Nevada, just west of Winnemucca, and it is what we consider a sleeper-type model, which was one of the highest-grade gold projects ever discovered in Nevada. So it was some interesting takeaways from the program, and you know, just recently listening to what Dr. Quinton Henney mentioned to one of our largest shareholders last week, talking to Prescott out of Denver. So first of all, we did 9 holes, 6,100 feet. We didn't test the full system. We did have three holes had some issues with some heavy water, but what we learned and some, you know, additional intelligence before we come back on phase three, we hit some significant alteration, which is key. We hit some good silicification and even evidence of mineralization. So what we've done now is we've been able to expand the footprint. We saw a lot of quartz veining, some epithermal alteration. An interpretation of the chips indicates that we believe the system's been expanded maybe to about 1,000 meters in length and maybe about 200 meters in width, and it's completely open at depth, and we're excited to look at the data, wait for the assays, which, of course, in the lab, probably not going to be getting back if you're here for another 6 weeks, probably to the end of February, early March. Put it together, model it, and we know that we're going to probably put some deep core holes in. Again, a couple holes had some water. Core is going to go right through that. We're going to head deep, and I think we got some interesting stuff so far out of Slumber. We're very happy internally of what we saw. It's really just waiting for the assays. So, good program.
Yeah, once you have the assays, then you'll design your next step, I guess, your next program. And as I recall, the sleeper mine had some water issues there. But anyway, I guess we'll have to be waiting though until I guess late February probably though for drill results, huh?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The labs are bogged down. We're actually even seeing some other companies. They've sent some of their samples down to South America to some other lab groups because the labs are just full. But we're excited. We liked what we saw. We have key areas that we didn't get to test, basically because of the RC going through chips and hitting water just blows out the hull, and we can't go over our sump. So we'll get back at it, and core will be good. We're going to go deep, and there's some exciting targets down below. So we'll see what happens.
So probably back March, April, something like that? You have to get your permits
and
things?
We'll get the results back end of February, March. We'll be already modeling it and planning and getting the permit ready. It's usually 30-day turnaround at the latest to get back in. So I would say, you know, forward-looking statement, let's call it April, May, or maybe latter part of April.
To start drilling again. All right. Well, then the next project that you're really looking at is you're working on hard is Sandy. It's another top prospect. What can you tell us about that? I think you just started drilling there, perhaps, or you're about to.
Yeah, we're actually on hole three.
So
Sandy is just southeast of Reno. Let's call it a couple hours down the highway and off the road. And again, like we indicated earlier, it is a solid land package in the middle of Eclipse Gold Mining's package. It's another high-grade epithermal target. It's what we call very similar or an identical type of system to the Slumber model, what we're chasing up there. And, you know, based on it, I think Quinton Henney, Dr. Henney did an interview, like I said, and he indicated in his discussion last Friday, you Google it, YouTube, Dr. Quinton Henney, Crescat, you'll see him talk about it at minute 47 and a half. He believes, just you know, looking at the first couple holes, that we actually might have the juiciest part of the system, which is laying inside of the Eclipse package. So we're excited about what we may have. And again, this is just east of the old famous Comstock mining camp. So again, as Quinton Henney said, he's our lead technical director. He's very hopeful on what the drill program has yielded so far, even after the first couple holes. And it's all going to come down to the assays. We're going to do about 5,000 feet. We actually extended a couple holes already deeper. Good indications of what we're seeing so far. Looks interesting. And, you know, it's the best time of the year. I mean, best time for a company like our size. We've got about $2 million in the bank, roughly. We've got about $1.8 million additional dollars of warrants fully in the money by about 50-60%. They're at 20 cents. We're trading at 30. So we're positioned with enough capital to get going and really execute a couple more drill programs on these projects.
Now, you have a very large portfolio of properties, as I recall. I mean, I looked at you when I first started covering it in my newsletter as a project generator. I know you hate the project generator models. I think most people do when, you know, these days. I think that it becomes more popular when the market, you know, when the mining sector goes into the tank. But right now, you have a lot of other properties. Any chance of monetizing them in any way?
Yeah, it's funny. We have 13 other projects. These are quality projects in the right trends, in the middle of the Cortez trend, in the middle of the Carlin trend, smack in the middle of the Walker Lane trend. These projects have great gold values on them. We are actually entertaining two juniors and two what I would call senior mining companies, producing gold mining companies. One of them has done a complete tour of our portfolio. I think we're on the opportunity of maybe pushing forward on, you know, maybe having a deal down the road, but it's the beginning of these discussions. So big portfolio, great projects, you know, two or three put into a shell for some juniors would be a wonderful project, and we have 100% ownership of all these 13 projects. It costs us $70,000 a year to maintain the entire portfolio.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, that sounds it sounds like there's a lot of things for investors to pay attention to here as you're going forward, and we'll look forward to ongoing news from you, Peter. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we move on today?
No, I think that's it. Again, assays are pending. We're going to be finishing the Sandy program here in about 2.5 weeks. We'll send those off. And again, anybody, feel free, dial the 888 number, 363-9883. It goes right to my cell phone. Email me, peter@nvgoldcorp.com. I like to be the most transparent, accessible CEO in the industry. This is the time when everyone should be watching us. We're cashed up, no debt. An amazing team, and let's see what happens here in the Q1.
And I think you do a lot of tweeting too, don't you?
Yeah, you're on Twitter. We throw a tweet out when we're on site, throw a picture out there, and you know, only after the news is out to make sure that we're always compliant. We're strong on corporate governance and everything of that such. So yeah, good. We're out there. Follow the Twitter account. We're on there. You can find it on the website, and give me a call if you want some information. I own a lot of stock. The chairman's the largest shareholder. Eric Sprott, of course, is one of the biggest. Crescat, one of the top gold funds in the U.S. out of Denver, is one of our key strategic shareholders. Another fund's out of Boston, out of Europe. Got some big players in the story. And hopefully this year will be another great year for NV Gold.
Yeah, it could very well be. And certainly, I know Crescat, it works very closely with Quentin Henning. So that makes a lot of sense. All right, very good. Well, thank you, Peter, so much for your time, and we'll look to talk to you again sometime in the not-too-distant future, hopefully.
Absolutely. Alrighty. Stay safe and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Peter. All right, folks, we are going to go to break now, but when we come back, Brent Cook, Eric Coffin, Gwen Preston, letter writers from the Metals Investor Forum will be with me to give their views on the markets as we start this new year, and also we're going to ask them to give us a couple of their top picks as well. And I might just remind you, the Metals Investor Forum is coming up in just a couple of days on Thursday and Friday of this week. Go to J Taylor Media, click on the banner, the Metals Investor Forum banner, and just give your name and email, and you can gain access to this event. And all the letter writers that will be there along with their favorite companies. And so I think if you're really investing in this industry, the Metals Investor Forum is an event that you don't want to miss. So Metals Investor Forum, J. Taylor Media, click on the banner, your name and email address, and you'll have access to this event. We are going to go to break now, but as I said, when we come back, Brent Cook, Eric Coffin, Gwen Preston will be with me, so don't go away.
Voice America is available on your Google connected device.
Okay, Google, play Turning Hard Times into Good Times podcast on iHeartRadio.
Try it today.
NV Gold Corp, trading under NVX on the TSX and NVGLF on the OTC, is a gold exploration company focused on uncovering the next multi-million ounce gold deposit in North America. With an aggressive exploration season ahead in 2020, a tight share structure, strong management ownership, key strategic investors including Eric Sprott, a globally recognized technical team, technical coverage from industry gold experts, and cash in its treasury. Visit nvgoldcorp.com to learn more on this exciting story.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me in this segment three friends and fellow newsletter writers who frequently present their views of the markets and invite their favorite companies to the Metals Investor Forum events. And as I noted earlier in the show, the next one is coming up in just a couple of days from now on the 14th of this month and the 15th as well. And you can go to jtaylormedia.com, click on the banner, and name and email address, and that will gain you access to this very important event, I would say, if you are an investor in this sector. It's probably one of the best events out there, so be sure that you make it. Find the time to... And there'll be many companies, I think 35 companies in all in the 2 days, with the various companies that each of the newsletter writers invite, their favorites, at least at this point in time. So we do have Gwen Preston and Eric Coffin and Brent Cook with us. And the reason they're back here is last year we had 8 newsletter writers on the show. We haven't had time to do all of them this year. But we had 8 newsletter writers, and the 3 that are with me had the best performances of the picks that they chose. So we're really pleased to have them back again this week. I was also one of those 8, and I must say that I was dead last among 8. So that's why I am asking the questions, and I've got the guests here today to tell me how I can do a little better next year. So welcome all 3 of you to the show. I think I would like to start out first with Gwen. We'll have each of the 3 give their views of the markets, their sort of general views of the markets, and not just the precious metals markets, but the markets as a whole, and then ask them to name their 2 top picks for this year. And, you know, it's kind of crazy because you can start out the year and you think you see something that really looks good. And I suppose if we went to March or April or something, we probably wouldn't be picking the same ones because the markets are always moving. But in any event, it's always fun to do. And as I mentioned earlier, these 3 letter writers did really well last year, so we're expecting an encore this year. So let's start out with Gwen Preston, and it's resourcemaven.ca is where you should go to pick up her work. And she really has done a great job. I really always enjoy listening to Gwen. She's very articulate and she's very smart, and that's why she's here. So, Gwen, go ahead. How do you see the markets this year, just in general, and then your 2 top picks?
Well, thank you so much for the kind introduction there, Jay. I mean, it's a pretty exciting time for those of us who spend our lives absorbed in this space. I'm basically pretty bullish. I think that what we're looking ahead at is, and you talk about this with various guests on your show all the time, but we're looking ahead at a scenario where there is all kinds of support for growth and recovery. So that suggests an increasing need for commodities across the board. And yet we're doing that in an environment where interest rates will stay at 0. We've been told that in no uncertain terms. And where there's all kinds of stimulus and support going on. Put that all together, and it certainly suggests a path towards inflation, and inflation is measured in many ways, but it certainly seems apparent to me in a lot of ways, especially over the last year when I've gone to the grocery store. But you put those things together, and what you get is a growth environment with negative real rates caused by inflation. And so that means likely a weaker dollar, and that means negative real rates in a growth environment. Those things together are the ingredients that create commodities bull markets, right? Growth means more demand for metals. A weaker dollar means that metal prices do well because they're generally priced in dollars, and so you have demand for those metals, and you have a weaker dollar that supports the price of them. And then gold gets to play the game as well because of the negative real rate setup. So it really works quite broadly. And there's you can always put up red flags and things you can question. I mean, what exactly will happen with the U.S. dollar? I think it's likely that it is going to go into a downturn, but you don't know for sure. And there's within the commodities swath there's certainly some that are likely to outperform others. I would put silver in that category because silver gets that benefit of being both the investment metal, the negative real rate, safe haven type investment, and the real growth demand and green energy push that is going to come from a Biden administration. So, I mean, I think silver and platinum are ones that are probably in the outperformer category. Copper may well be there as well, although we've seen incredible gains in copper already in the last few months. So I'm going to hold my tongue on that a little. But at the end of the day, metals are set to do very well from a fiscal, monetary, and growth standpoint. Like, it really, all of the forces are lined up. So I'm pretty excited about the year to come.
Right.
And so for two picks, I'm going to do one that's a little bit of a more advanced story and one that's a real exploration story. So
yeah, and I know you had a problem with your more advanced stories. You had two of them. You're going to sneak one in on us or not?
No. I promise I will keep it to
okay.
What Dave's mentioning is he asked yesterday for our picks ahead of time, and I had sent him two possibilities for the more advanced story, and I have winnowed it down to Vanguard. So Vanguard, the name might include the word gold, but it is really a silver story. It will probably be renaming itself shortly. It's got the Pingüico project in Mexico, which is a really interesting project, historic mine, super high grade, lots of exploration potential there. Several, one underground and one on surface stockpile of well mineralized material that's ready to process at a mill. They've already done a bulk sample to show that that works. And they just signed a deal to buy the mill next door that they did the bulk sample at. And once that deal closes, it's just they're wrapping up the financing now. It puts them on the path to be in production by this time, like sort of in a year. So this is a 30 million market cap stock that is now set up to be in production at a small to medium scale within 12 months and has really what I think of an exciting exploration potential around its Pingüico asset. So Vanguard, VGLD on the venture, is my more advanced pick. And again, it's sort of in the silver category. And then on the exploration front, I'm actually going to go with Heliostar. So this is a small junior company that has, that's primary focus is the Unga Gold Project in Alaska. It's a company that went through a corporate transformation in the last little while, you know, brought a private company in to merge with the public company, changed name, new CEO. Really respect the CEO and his geologic prowess. And this is a high-grade story. High-grade exploration story, but what I really like about it is there's four targets. We're waiting for drill results from all four of them right now. Any one of those four targets could sort of, a company could be carried on any one of those four targets on its own, and yet there's four of them. So when you're playing an odds game, exploration is always an odds game, I like having four strong targets, not just one or two. So it's a very short version of the Heliostar story, but I don't want to take over anybody else's time. So those are my two, Vanguard and Heliostar.
Heliostar, okay. Is that their targets? Are they on probably on public land? Are they government land, Alaskan land, or what? Do you know?
They're on it's Native Corporation land with agreements in place.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, very good. All right, thank you, Gwen. Thank you for that. And I guess, Eric, what are your thoughts now on the market? So I've always enjoyed listening to what you have to say about the about the markets and how they impact what we're looking to make money on. So go ahead. What are your thoughts about the general market, general markets?
I think it's probably going to be another strange year. Obviously, we've got one pretty positive driver for equities, and it's a driver for metals, too, and that's, of course, stimulus spending, and I don't think it's any secret to anyone who isn't living under a rock that particular thing is going to probably accelerate here in mm-hmm. a couple of weeks. Biden's made it pretty plain he's going to step things up pretty much as soon as he's inaugurated. So I don't know what their total package is going to be. I mean, they talk about several different aspects, but it does sound like they're aiming at $3 or $4 trillion, something in that order. Mm. You inject $3 or $4 trillion into an economy, odds are pretty good you're going to have a growth rate. So I'm partially because of the stimulus itself, partially because the U.S. and the rest of the G7 is still sort of bouncing off the coronavirus dive. Mm-hmm. U.S. is, in nominal terms, is going to probably put up pretty strong numbers this year, and I think some of the other economic blocks will put up better numbers. I don't know that Europe's going to be fantastic, but I think it'll be okay for the same reason. Just coming out of this mess is going to foreshadow a fairly decent year. That's probably a positive for base metals in particular. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say 2020, much like 2009, China pulled everybody's proverbial chestnuts out of the fire. They kept up their buying and were buying quite hard, in fact, across the base metal space. That's part of the reason why base metal prices are so good. I mean, I'm expecting, I would second Gwen's comments that given how well copper's done, I'm a little leery to get too bullish on it, but mm-hmm. I also don't see anything in the pipeline, so I don't see any particular reason why it shouldn't go to $4.50 or $5. I just don't know how fast it'll happen. The other base metals will, I don't think, also do well. Gold's had a bit of a setback lately. We may see that improve here over the next 3 or 4 months. Again, the stimulus, just the effects of that should help. The one fly in the ointment is I think we're going to concurrently see probably inflation picking up. I'm not completely sold on the idea inflation is going to really take off, but I think it should increase just based on demand effects. But at the same time, we're probably going to see bond yields increase. I'm not saying the Fed's going to step in anytime soon, but the bond market itself, you can see the yield curve steepening, and mm-hmm. the pullback we had in gold in the last week or so, you can largely blame that on 10-year yields going up about 20-25 basis points. And I think that's a combination of people sort of betting on inflation. Inflation is our bond's enemies. Of course, the bonds traders tend to sell when they see inflation coming, but also just supply. If we're going to see 2 or 3 or who knows what trillion in mm-hmm. stimulus, that means the Treasury is going to be selling a lot of paper. Yeah. And that might be starting to make people a little bit nervous in terms of interest rates. It's one thing for the Fed to say zero, but maintaining that when you're seeing huge supply coming on stream might not be so easy. So it's going to be, there's going to be the seesaw, I think. And I am concerned about just how speculative the senior markets have gotten. I mean, it's feeling mm-hmm. very 1999-ish to me. Mm-hmm. I'm well aware of the fact that could keep going for a year or two, and it may well with all the stimulus. But I think we definitely need to keep looking over our shoulders going forward, because a lot of things are getting parabolic, and that never ends well. In terms of my two picks, I'm going to pick a base metal and a gold one. Base metal, Penn Global, PGZ on the venture. Penn Global's got properties in Spain, specifically the one that they're working on is in the Pyrite Belt. The Pyrite Belt is arguably the world's most famous VMS camp, the biggest one. It's kind of land of the giants, and they've been drilling a property called Viscasena now for months. They keep pulling good holes. They've been showing a lot of consistency. They've got very good targeting with their geophysics, and that geophysics, the targets are still wide open. They should be getting the concession that's contiguous to the east, should be getting finalized in the next month or two. that's got another six or seven gravity anomalies on it, and gravity sort of being the targeting tool in the pyrite belt.
Mm-hmm.
They've got one anomaly going great, four or five more coming. They're surrounded by mines. It had a really good year in 2020, was up 300-400%, but I just like it as something where I could see it gaining. You know, I could see it doubling again just on more and more and more good drill results. The gold pick is a company called Sun Summit, SMN, on the venture. They've got a property in north central BC called Buck. It's not Golden Triangle. It's fairly close to the town of Houston, fairly flat roads everywhere. It's a year-round project. They just put out a set of drill results. Buck's known for having these broad, pretty low-grade zones that, frankly, traders wouldn't care about if they returned a bunch of those. What changed in the last set is they reported a very, very good high-grade hole with four separate intercepts. It feels to me like those guys have cracked the code now, which nobody had really done before in this project. I'm expecting news in the next week or so on their IP and structural work, and I think that's really what drove the targeting, the structural work in particular. It feels to me like these guys have figured out how to drill this thing. They'll be drilling again in a couple of weeks. The CEO and I are quite good friends, and I know from talking to Bob, he's basically saying, look, if we think we figured out what's going on here. We think we know how to target this. We keep pulling holes like this. Once we start drilling, we're just going to keep drilling. So I think it's going to be a good drill spec exploration story through the year.
All right. Can they drill? When will they start drilling again, Eric?
They're drilling in a couple of weeks. They actually have guys there now. They're just sort of plowing the roads and building pads. It's a year-round project because it's flat. And there's logging roads all over it, so there is no real seasonality to this project. They can pretty much drill year-round.
Oh, that's good. Very good. Well, it's certainly one I've been watching for quite a while myself, so I'm really happy to hear you pick that one. And Pan Global sounds great, too. That's the pyrite belt.
Yeah.
Pretty high-grade discovery they made there.
One of the most senior guys at RTZ. One of his jobs through the years was actually the European exploration manager, and he had his eye on this project for a long time. It was tied up by a local company that essentially did nothing for 30 years. So when it came open, he jumped on it pretty hard because he knows this belt really well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So there's a couple, but I'm sure you'll have a lot more besides those, Eric. And you certainly work extremely hard, as do all three of my guests here that are with me. Well, I'm not so sure about Brent because he's sort of semi-retired, so maybe I misspoke there. Brent used to work pretty hard, I know. So Brent, thanks for joining me today. Thanks, it's so kind of you to take your time now that you're retired to actually come out and do a little work and share your wisdom with us. Thank you.
No worries, Jay. Glad to be here. I'm actually not that retired. I just work as much as I want.
Oh, that's the way. Oh, wow! Wouldn't that be great? I think that's what I should be doing too, probably. Anyway, thank you so much. And so, your general market views, Brent. I think you know you're certainly not a gold bug. Well, none of the other letter writers here are either. I guess they wouldn't take that. They wouldn't want to take that label. But as I heard from you, you're quite bullish on gold. But just tell us what you're thinking about the general markets this year, Brent.
Yeah, I really can't disagree with much of what Gwen or Eric said. It all makes sense, and that's what it looks like to me. I guess if I was to look for the black swan that we're not seeing would be interest rates rising.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably kill about everything that we've been talking about right now. In terms of the gold price, certainly the monetary stimulus and such is a positive for it. On the negative side, we've got, I guess what you'd call some sensibility, science, and stability returning to the White House as soon as this whack job gets out and fades into the Internet. So that's in a sense, I guess that's a negative to the gold price in terms of volatility and uncertainty out there. But on the positive side, we've got the stimulus, which is definitely going to continue for quite some time. So I expect gold to improve gradually over the year, and I'm keen on the gold price. What's really important, I think, is that there's a deficit of new gold deposits. to replace what's being mined. Now, we're mining over 90-something million ounces a year globally, and we're finding half that. So once the COVID restrictions are up, I think we're going to see much more M&A action when companies can get out and send their people to look at projects scattered across the world. So I'm positive in that respect, and Joe and I in Exploration Insights are trying to focus on projects that we think have a good chance of being acquired later in the year. We're also quite keen on the electrification and green energy, I guess, going forward, and that really comes down to us to nickel and copper. Again, copper's done quite well. It's probably due for a pause. But looking down the road again, there's a severe shortage of new copper to replace what's being mined. So again, Joe and I are looking at large potential discoveries, early grassroots stage stuff, with the idea that, again, the majors will start moving down the food chain. So that's sort of where we're thinking big picture-wise.
Right. What about silver, Brent? Not as bullish on silver?
Silver's fine. I'm definitely not a silver bug. I recognize that when things get hot and people get excited, silver does well. It's really hard to find a pure silver play.
Yeah, right.
We own Pan American Silver because it is probably the best silver company out there, and you've got embedded in it two world-class deposits that are just waiting on political action and some permitting. So that's our silver play right there.
Right, and I know you're going to tell me about a company that has a silver and copper exploration play as well, but maybe you want to talk about the other one, the Bluestone, I think was one that you mentioned, Bluestone.
Bluestone.
Talk about that.
Joe and I aren't finding a lot of early stage inexpensive exploration plays where we see the risk reward that well. We've had a big run in these junior companies that have gone from, say, last year at this time, $10 million, now they're trading at $50 million. And not that much has changed. So they're getting expensive. We're not finding a lot of cheap stuff. With regards to Bluestone, that's a known asset. It's drilled out. It's in Guatemala. I've been there a couple times. So is Joe. They've got in the order of 2 million ounces, I'm sorry, 1 million ounces at a little over 10 grams a ton. It's permitted. They've got a feasibility on it that comes in at around $227 million. That's their market cap. That's the market cap. And the feasibility study at $1,250 puts the NPV at a much higher price than that. It's going to get bigger. It's backed by the Lundin Group. So there's no problem financing this thing. So I think that's one that next year, once it's financed, ready to go, Lending Group moves into, and it gets sold for a premium.
Wow.
The second one is much more speculative. This is Hannon Resources, or Metals,
yes,
I guess it is. $30 million market cap, more or less. They've got a 100-kilometer-long belt of very grassrootsy copper-silver exploration ground where they've identified and confirmed a geologic model that historically, around their other parts of the world, hosts some of the largest copper base metal deposits anywhere. They structured a deal with Jugmec, the Japanese company, whereby Jugmec can earn 75% by basically bringing this thing to a feasibility study. So they're covered through all of this exploration work, and I think it's got a lot, a lot of room to play there. So that's sort of my speculative pick for this coming year. And actually, the two I picked last year, Blackstone, which is a nickel development company out of Australia, and Trilogy, which is the copper deposit in Alaska. I still own both these, and I think they've got a great shot at improving as well.
So you still like those two. They were your picks last year, and Blackstone, I guess, is the one that did so well for you last year. But you like both of them still this year.
Trilogy would have, but with COVID restrictions, they didn't get to do any work.
Ah, okay. Well, hopefully they'll be lifted this year. Hopefully this vaccine will work, and we'll be back to something closer to normal. It would be nice, again, to be able to travel and meet up with all of you again sometime. I don't know if it's going to happen this year or not, but in any event, we're very thankful. Our markets are moving in the right direction, and I want to thank you, Brent, and Eric and Gwen for sharing your thoughts with our listeners. I think they certainly will appreciate it. I should mention it's Exploration Insights for Brent and HRA Advisory for Eric for Eric's newsletter, and so these are all. I really hope you all take a look at these. These letter writers, and maybe many of you are already subscribing to these excellent writers, but certainly a lot of great ideas. And Gwen will be at the Metals Investor Forum on Friday, and Eric and myself will be there on Thursday, this Thursday, the Metals Investor Forum. So that is about it for this week. I want to thank all of you for listening. Thanks to my guests here. And next week, Alistair McLeod will be with me, along with Michael Oliver and Michael Timmons of Fury Gold Mines. And so until then, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Noble Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Pilbara region of Western Australia. Novo has recently partnered with Sumitomo Corporation of Japan to evaluate, advance, and develop the company's Australian gold projects. With over $40 million in cash and $60 million committed from Sumitomo, Novo is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.